clean. We're very glad to have our brother, Mr. Colin McKee, with us this evening. He's travelled a long distance all the way from Cumber on that wet and wintry evening. I do really appreciate him coming this evening. I'll ask him to come down and share his testimony with us. Thank you, brother.
I just want to thank your minister and the session just for the invitation even to come here tonight. This very wet night, it was all right till we got to the Glensheen Pass and then we got over the hill and it's just empty, but we're glad to be here safely and we thank the Lord for that. And we just pray tonight that the Lord would even speak to you and challenge you even through what the Lord even has done for me. I wonder would you turn in your Bible with me, please, to Psalm 121. Psalm 121. And we'll just read this psalm together, please. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We'll just ask the Lord for his help and his blessing even tonight. Father in heaven, we humbly bow in thy presence now in our Saviour's precious name. We thank you, Lord, for thy word tonight, Lord, even we've read. Lord, bless it to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, for each one that would be gathered in here tonight. We thank you, Lord, you know each heart. We thank you, Lord, you're well able to meet that need even this very night. Pray, Lord, very especially for those that as yet are not saved. Lord, even tonight, that thou would speak to them, that thou would show them their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even for God's people tonight, Lord, we pray that thou would encourage them. Heavenly Father, we just pray that thou would give me help now. We confess, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. We need thy help and thy presence this night in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. I was born in Newtownards. I was the youngest of three and had two older sisters. We lived on a farm and both my parents were saved and loved the Lord. And just like our brother here, you know, from an early age, we were taught our need to be saved. We were taught that we were sinners in the eyes of a holy God, and it was only through Christ and Christ alone that we could be saved. You know, my father was an elder in the Presbyterian Church, and he also ran the Craigantlet Mission Hall, which was just up the road from where we lived. And also, Daddy was involved in the local Faith Mission Prayer Union, which was held there as well. And you know all our evangelical works in the area. So on a Sunday, we started off in Sunday school in our church and then stayed on for the morning service. And then sometimes a meeting in the afternoon and then up to the mission hall on a Sunday night and then on to the youth fellowship and church afterwards. So Sunday was always a busy day in our house. As I said, we were taken along to all of these meetings. And yes, I knew of my need to be saved. But that was as far as it went. I knew that if I died, that I would go even to a lost eternity in hell. I knew all about the Word of God. I knew about salvation. But that was as far even it went, even in those days. One night, I remember at the age of 11, we were taken along to a tent mission, even in Bangor. I don't remember that night what the evangelist was preaching on. But one thing, like never before, that night in that meeting, there was probably about 1,000 people in that tent, but as evangelist was preaching, I felt I was the only person in that meeting. The Lord spoke to me even like never before. The Lord showed me that I needed to get saved there that night. The Lord spoke to me even of my sinful heart, and I knew I needed to come and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew I couldn't rely upon my parents' salvation and my good works. You know, the Word of God tells us, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. God's word teaches us that there's one way and only one, and that is through Christ and Christ alone, through his finished work upon the cross of Calvary. I knew I could do nothing to save myself. It was only what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, how he had paid the debt of my sin, how he had taken my place there upon the cross of Calvary, and he had shed his blood for my sin. And there in that tent that night, at the end of that meeting, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart to take my sin away and give me everlasting life. And, you know, praise the Lord, he did. You know, going to the mission hall, we would have heard many testimonies in the mission hall. And I always heard people telling about how they felt the moment they got saved and how the Lord came in and gave them a peace, you know, in their hearts. And just that exactly, that night is what I experienced. I experienced being saved and to know I was saved, to know my sins were washed away. Remember that night coming home and even running down over the field to my granny's wee house and just to tell her the good news that another one of her grandchildren even had got saved. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you were brought up, as I was, in a Christian home, maybe taken along to many different meetings week by week. You could probably quote the Word of God even better than me. Yes, you're brought up in the things of God. Maybe you think that the fact that your parents are saved and you've gone to all these meetings, that somehow this will find favor with you, with God, on that great judgment day. Friends, tonight salvation is through Christ and Christ alone and through that finished work upon the cross of Calvary. As I said from the start, I was brought up on a farm. And from as far back as I can remember, all I ever wanted to do was work on that farm with my father. I didn't enjoy school at all. I remember the first day of secondary school, we were taken into this big assembly hall. I remember staring all around and I saw this writing up on the top right-hand corner of the wall in chalk. And it simply said these words, "If your birthday falls between July and August, you can leave school when you're 15. And I said to myself, that'll do me. That's my aim and my goal, to get through this secondary school. And I got through the next 4 years. And at the age of 15, around April time, I left school and went home to work with my father without any qualifications. And as you would probably expect, whenever my children were at school, and I always tried to encourage them, you know, you need to do your exams and work hard. And, you know, they didn't really listen because they just said, "Daddy, you needn't talk, for you haven't got any examinations or qualifications to your name." But anyhow, you know, I was home now doing the things that I loved. I thank the Lord even at that time that we had good Christian friends even to run about with. You know, we went along to all the different youth meetings even that were on at that time, maybe not always for the right reasons, going to see who was there and that, but we were in God's house and we were able to encourage one another even in the things of God. I mean, I thank the Lord tonight for the good Christian company that I had. You know, I'd encourage even young people here tonight that you would seek your company among God's own people. Seek out the people of God and make them your friends, even those that are going to university and school and all of those different places. You get into the right company and into the right crowd. You know, if we get into the wrong company, so easy for us and for young people even to end up far away from the Lord. Bring you up to September 1995. We had just finished the harvest that year. The weather had been not too bad and we'd got the grain all finished and we're taking the last of the barley into Thompson's Mill in Belfast. After, remember that morning after I fed the cattle, I started to get a sore head, something that I've never had before. And I thought I'll lie down for an hour or so and then I'll be able to go. But it just seemed to get worse and worse. And even the very light shining into the room was making it very sore. You know, I have a great fear of doctors and hospitals, and especially needles. Not the needles we put into the cattle, but the ones that the doctors and the nurses use. I had never been ill in my life before, but it just got worse and worse. And I asked my mother, I said, "You may get a doctor quick." And whenever she heard me saying that, she knew. She said, "You're not too good." The doctor came out, and right away they took me down to the Ulster Hospital. They gave me medication to try and ease the pain. They sedated me and moved me up to the neurosurgical ward in the Royal Victoria Hospital. Again, up there, a lot of very seriously ill people, a lot of people with head injuries. But, you know, they did several scans on my head and discovered that there was fluid had built up between my brain and my skull, and it was this fluid that was causing the pain in my head at that time. They decided that they would have to remove this fluid. And as I said before, I wasn't a good patient. But, you know, when I, at that time, I was facing even going for this operation. But you know, I had a wonderful sense of the presence of God. I had no fear whatsoever of what lay ahead at that time. And it wasn't that my faith was strong. It was that God that gives us the grace even at the time when he, 2 Corinthians 12 and the verse 9 tells us, "My grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In my weakness, God gave me the strength and the grace and the comfort at that time. You know, even as I was wheeled down again through the corridors for that operation, I knew the Lord was with me. I knew I had nothing to fear. And especially when I'm thinking about that verse, Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. My life was in the hands of the one who spoke this world into existence, the one who created all things. I was in his care even at that time. The operation was done and the pain eased, and after a week or so, I was allowed to go home. The doctor seemed to think that the problem was sorted and now that I would be back to normal again. I was home for about a week or so, and then I remember on a Saturday night some friends came in to see me. We sat and talked, but the pain started to come back again into my head, so much so that I excused myself and went back to bed. You know, the pain just got worse and worse, and before long I had to ring the doctor again and was taken back up to the hospital. There again they sedated me to ease the pain. I did more scans on the Monday. On the Tuesday they tried to drain the fluid off again, but it didn't make any difference. The pain was just getting worse and worse. At that time I could feel myself even getting weaker and weaker, so much so that I could hardly move or get out of bed or even communicate with those around me. They did another scan and they discovered the problem this time, that there was a cyst on my brain and this cyst was leaking and it was the cause of the fluid building up and all the pain. They decided that they would have to operate to remove this. Remember that night, on the Wednesday night, the surgeon, he came up to see me to talk about the operation. And he said, "Colin, this is a very serious operation tomorrow. You know, where we have to work and where we have to take this off your brain, you could even end up being paralyzed during this operation. Or if worse comes to worse, you may not even make it through." Do we not know where, just because of where it is, what will happen? Thanked him for coming up, and away he went. And a wee while later, a wee nurse came round to get me to sign some forms for the operation. We got talking and discovered that she was a believer also. And I said to her that night, I said, "How do the unsaved go through operations where they do not know what will happen, where they do not even know will they wake up again or not?" You know, I thank the Lord tonight that I was not hoping for the best. I was trusting in the one who created all things. And God gave me grace even at that time. I remember praying that night. I said, "Lord, you know, if it's your will to take me home in the morning, then that's fine. But I also pray, Lord, I have done nothing worthy even of going home to glory." I just simply said, "Lord, your will be done even in my life." I believe even it was very hard for my family at that time than it was for me. I was just there. There's nothing I could do. But I was in the Lord's hands and he carried me through. You remember that night, the whole night, a good night's sleep, and woke up in the morning and taken down to theatre. Again, all the way there, I had that peace in my heart. Psalm 121, verse 3 tells us, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord was my keeper that morning. That day, what had I to fear? The operation was done, and I woke up with a very sore head. The doctors were happy that the operation had gone well. But you know, the next day, infection set into my head and my head started to swell up, so much so that even one of my eyes was completely closed and the other was barely open. That time I was now very seriously ill because of this infection. Remember the Reverend Samuel Murray came in on a Sunday morning to see me even before church. I could just see him there. I couldn't even respond, couldn't even speak to him. I just knew he was there. At that time the doctors told my family that my life was hanging in the balance and the next few hours would be very critical to what would happen. At that time, again, I couldn't read, I couldn't pray. But, you know, I could feel the Lord's arms around about me. I knew that I was in his hands and in his care, even at that time. You know, God always draws near to his people at the right time that we need him. He is always there with us. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That Sunday afternoon, there was a special prayer meeting held in our own church in Cumber, and also in other churches even in the land at that time. And, you know, just as God's people were praying, you know, the Lord heard and answered their prayers. And just as quickly as that infection had set into my head, just that quickly, it started to ease and go down. So much so, by the Tuesday morning, I was sitting even in bed, able to sit up and eat my breakfast. The doctors and the nurses couldn't even believe how quickly I had recovered and turned the corner. And by the weekend, I was able to get home again and even to go out and for a wee walk around the yard. You know, at that time, I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months and had to take 6 months off work, but you know, every day I got home, I was feeling stronger and able to do small jobs. And very soon, even long before the 6 months were up, I was back able to do the work again on the farm. About 6 months later, I had to go back for a review and I had to meet the surgeon. He did the operation. He told me I had a full and a complete recovery, and he was discharging me and did not want to see me again. You know, I have met several people even over the past few years, and they had exactly the same thing. One lady especially comes in and out of the shop all the time, and she had the exact same problem that I had. You know, she's been through about 10 operations even in the last 12 or 13 years, and she still has to go back every now and again to get the problem looked at. But you know, the Lord put his healing hand upon me, and I give the Lord all the glory even for what he did for me even at that time. You know, as I said, I wasn't allowed to drive for 6 months, but there was a young lady who had started coming to Cumber to the church, and the Lord saved her even through the meetings and through the Word of God and brought her under conviction. And it wasn't too long even before Linda got involved in the work also. And then Linda was always very good at taking me home and taking me different places because I couldn't drive at that time. But you know, even there, the Lord was good to us. And we started going out at the start of 1996, and we were married even in November of the same year. And I thank the Lord for her, and thank the Lord for the Lord brought us together. We clearly knew it was his will for us to be husband and wife. You know, for those who are at this stage, even in your lives, oh, seek God's will even for who you should marry. Seek his face. Now, it's so important, young people, that you marry someone that the Lord has for you. Most importantly of all, someone that's saved. Remember the unequal yoke the Lord talks about in the Word of God. But seek the Lord's will even for whom you should marry. And since then, the Lord has blessed us with 4 children, Isaac, Caleb, Faye, and Solomon. We thank the Lord for saving each one of our children. Not long after we were married, we opened up the shop. At that time, we were living on the farm. My parents were on the farm too. And we just felt the Lord. We sought the Lord as what we should do. At that time, it was maybe a choice of going out to work somewhere else or whatever. But we felt the Lord leading us and guiding us to go down that route. And you know, even the Lord has blessed our business. And we give the Lord the glory and honor for all that he has done for us, even as a family. We've always sought to put 1 Samuel 2 and the verse 30 into practice, where it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor." We of ourselves can do absolutely nothing. It's only with the Lord's help that we can do anything. There have been many difficulties, many trials, many problems, times of struggle even to see a way ahead. Yet the Lord has always been there. And the Lord has always helped us and carried us through. And he's never failed us, even over the time of COVID. Very difficult time for anyone in business. And yet the Lord gave us many promises. And the Lord put a shield upon us and upon our business. And the Lord enabled us to get through even at that time. My father went to be with the Lord 5 years ago after being diagnosed with cancer a year or so before, and my mother nearly 3 years ago with the same condition. As I said from the start, they were both saved and loved the Lord. But you know, Mum and Dad worked away quietly for the Lord, and especially in their latter years when they were not involved in the business to the same extent until they passed away. You know, I never really knew the things that they were involved in. But you know, they supported many of God's servants in missionary work and faith mission and different things, you know, things I never knew about. It was only after they passed away even that I heard people came to me and told me what they did for them. You know, it really challenged me in my own life even about what we should do for the Lord and how we should have a good testimony before the Lord. No one knew what they did for the Lord, only themselves. It's so important that we even take that time to encourage and even to help God's servants in missionary work in whatever way, even we can, even just to pray for them and support them even in that way. That's what the Lord wants us even to do. I bring you up to 31st of May, even last year, we had a herd test that morning on the farm for tuberculosis. These tests are done on a regular basis by the vets. We started that morning at 5 a.m., and by 9 o'clock we're testing a last batch of cattle. You know, with 70 heifers just out in the back field, we buy cattle and finish them. That's what our business is for the shop. So some of these cattle hadn't been on the farm for a very long time. We give the cattle a bag of meal every day or so just to keep them coming. Whenever they see a bag, usually they come and run after you, and that's the easy way to move them about the farm. But that morning, we went out, and They thought they were going to get fed as usual, and Isaac and Faye, son and daughter, were in front and just walked down the lane in front of them, and I was behind in the quad bringing them along. Halfway down the lane, the cattle stopped, and I stepped off the quad as you do just to shoe them on. But just at that instant, I noticed the middle of the batch all started to turn and their heads were up. There was a few real wild ones in the middle of that batch, and they decided they weren't going any further. Remember stepping back onto the quad. This all happened just in seconds, but I stepped back onto the quad. I knew if I tried to run, they'd run over the top of me. I stepped back onto the quad and reached down to throw it into reverse, and I thought I could back out of the road quickly. But you know, just at that instant, every one of those animals had turned and were just about to take off. You know, we're used to working with cattle. We have done so even from a very early age, and even stand in front of animals and not be afraid and turn them and head them back the other road. But this time was different. I knew these cattle weren't going to stop for anything. Even if there were a brick wall in front of them, they were going to go straight through it. I remember just as I stepped onto the quad and hit the reverse, all of a sudden the cattle came straight at me and hit the front of the quad. The next thing I remember was lying on the ground, and I opened my eyes, and all I could see was the feet of the cattle even heading straight for me. I remember saying just very simply, "Lord, this is it. It's all over. You're going to take me home. And it's just really going to hurt." But just at that instant, I remember was the quad all of a sudden just come up into the air, come right down top of me, upside down. And I remember the cattle went over the top of the quad. But you know, thank the Lord, not one of their hoofs touched me. Not one hoof out of those 70 cattle touched me. They tramped over the quad, and I could feel the weight of them going out over it. But you know, I thank the Lord how he kept his hand upon me. Even at that time, Isaac and Faye ran up and pulled the quad even off me. And I was still there, because you know, I was still here. I was conscious and knew what was going on. I lay there struggling for breath. Thought if I lie here for 10 or 15 minutes, I'll be all right and be able to get back even to the yard. I managed to crawl onto another wee quad that we have and get back to the yard and even into the house. I was really struggling for breath at that time. And Linda called the ambulance. They sent an ambulance. They also sent the air ambulance that morning. But because there were cattle all around the yard and all around the fields close to the yard, they couldn't get the helicopter landed close to the yard. So the doctors came and decided that they would go in the ambulance, the ordinary ambulance, with me. So after all that, I didn't even get a run in the helicopter. But in a very short space of time, I was in the Royal Victoria Hospital and going through the scanner to see what damage had been done. But you know, again, the Lord had been very, very good to me. And I had only 6 broken ribs and a few cuts and bruises. They took me to the theatre and did a procedure just to ease the pain. But just as the Lord had put his hand upon me and protected me at that time, you know, it was as if the Lord had just been in the whole thing. And as I say, not one foot or not one animal even touched me. And if they had I would have been instantly, you know, killed and would have been away home to glory. But you know, the Lord says there in that verse 5, "The Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." I knew what it was that day to have the Lord as my keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon my right hand. The Lord put his hand of protection upon me that day. It's a big shock for us all. None of us know, you know, friend, listen tonight, none of us know what another day will bring forth. I was in hospital at that time for about 6 days, and then was allowed to go home. I was very sore at the start, but day by day the pain started to ease, and before long I was able to get back into the office and back out onto the farm again. Thank the Lord again tonight for even all that he has done for me, how he has kept me here even for another wee while, even to serve him just in the different things that we are involved in. You know, I encourage you all here tonight, God wants us to serve him now. God doesn't want us to leave it to another day or another time, whether it's in the home, the farm, wherever we are, school, university, or the office. God wants you and I to serve him and to live our lives for him. Just as I finish tonight, you know, the Lord taught me many different lessons, even during those 2 times of illness. I think the most important one of all was that life is short. During my time in the hospital, especially the first time in the Royal Victoria in Belfast, there was a lot of very sick people in the ward that I was in. And I seen people there 1 minute, the next minute, even out into eternity. The Lord really challenged me about how short life really is. James 14 in the verse 4 tells us, "Whereas ye know not shall what be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just as a vapor in the window is there 1 minute and gone the next, so is our lives. That's how God describes your life and mine today. You know, just as I finish, just four wee simple points, just even in that psalm that we read. First of all, the personal. Read there in Psalm 121, verse 7, it says, "He shall preserve thy soul." The Lord says, "Thy soul." It's thy soul. Friends, this is personal to you and I tonight. Every one of us have a soul, and that soul lives within you and I, and that soul will live forever in one of two places: heaven for those who are saved, and hell for those who are not. Friends, tonight you must have a personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and as yet you're not saved, it's not enough for you to say even, "Yes, I agree with all that you say. I know of my need to be saved. I read my Bible. I go to church. I put my offerings into the basket. I do many good works." Friends, you need to come personally to the Lord. You must call upon him. You must put your faith and trust in him tonight. Because he gave his life for you upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood. He was victorious there upon the cross over sin and death. Why? That we might have a way back to him. Romans 3:23 tells us very simply, "For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God." That wee word, all. None are exempt. The Bible simply says all have sinned. Young, old, from the highest to the lowest in society, all have sinned, even in the eyes of a holy God. And we of ourselves can do nothing to meet that need tonight. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Lord says there, "I am the way." One way, and only one, and that is through Christ and Christ alone. Friends, tonight, come and put your faith and trust in him. You know, if you weren't well tonight, and if you could even get an appointment to see the doctor, which probably is not easy to do up here as it is in Newton Arts, but if you were not well and you went to see him and he prescribed the medicine or pills to make you better, you wouldn't delay in taking that medicine or those pills. You wouldn't set them up on the sideboard, and you wouldn't look at them and go, "Yes, I know they'll make me better." But you know, you would take them. And so it is with Christ. You need to take him. You need to come and take him as your Savior. Not enough to know about him. Friends, come and have a personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Secondly, we see God, the Lord's protection. We already touched on this in the verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. You know, when we're saved, we're not promised a life that will have no problems or difficulties or trials or troubles or sickness or sorrow. That is not the case. Many of God's people are called to go through the deep waters of affliction, even in their lives. But you know, friends, tonight we are not alone. We have the Lord's protection and we have his help. Read in Isaiah 43 in the verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the waters they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." God does not promise you and I a life of ease, but he does promise to protect us and to go with us and to help us through trials and trouble. Whatever comes our way, the Lord says, "I will be with thee." We are never alone. You know, we are called to suffer. But remember this, the Lord will be there with his protecting hand upon us, even to carry us through. Look back in the word of God. Look at the many examples of God's people. Think of Daniel in the den of lions, how the Lord undertook for him when he took a stand for God. Think of Joseph and even the many trials he had and how the Lord protected him. The Lord preserved him and one day made him prime minister even over the land of Egypt. Child of God tonight, is it not wonderful to know that the very one who created the heavens and the earth and all of the beauty and splendor that there is protecting even you and I tonight? What have we to fear? What have we to fear tonight, even what lies ahead for any one of us? For the Lord is with us. In chapter 3 and the verse 3, we see the Lord preserves us. Reading in the verse 7 and the verse 8 of Psalm 121, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Yes, we have God's protecting hand, but we have also God's preserving hand. When you preserve something, what does it do? It keeps for a very long time. God's preserving hand will keep you and I, child of God, through life into everlasting life forevermore. Three times in these two verses we read the word preserve. He shall preserve us from evil. He shall preserve our souls if we are saved. He shall preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We do not need to fear death tonight if we are saved. We have that wonderful assurance that the Lord will preserve us and the Lord will take us into everlasting life and glory. We have his preserving hand upon us. And finally, his presence. We have the Lord's presence. We are told, Psalm 121, that the Lord is our shade upon thy right hand. Think about this wonderful truth tonight, that the Lord is with us. When we're saved, we have the Lord's presence. You and I have the Lord's presence tonight, wherever we go and whatever we do, through whatever difficulty, problems, trials, whatever happens, you and I have that blessing of knowing that the Lord is with us and he will never fail us. You know what it is to come even to the place of prayer, be able to come into God's presence and just to talk to the Lord, to pour out our hearts to him, to bring to him all of our cares and our fears tonight, knowing that he does hear and answer our prayers. Think of even the two disciples, even in Emmaus Road, what was their cry even after they had met the Lord and how they spent time with him. Read there in Luke 24 and 32, what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us as we talked with us by the way? Oh, child of God, tonight, apply this even to my own heart. We need to seek to walk with the Lord. We need to live our lives for him. We need to crown him King of our hearts afresh. We have the Lord's presence every day. Even tomorrow morning as we would rise up and face another week. If you're saved, you have the Lord's presence. Just think about that. Remember that. May that even encourage us and even carry us through. But remember tonight, if you're not saved, if you're here and you're not saved, you don't have the Lord's presence. Friend, you need to come. You need to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. And then you will too have the presence of God even in your life. Amen.
I do thank our brother Colin for that wonderful word of testimony, how the Lord was so gracious unto him, how the Lord saved him first and foremost and then preserved his life. And the Lord is good to each one of us, so as he preserves each one of us, and he's good to each one of us even this evening. And you're in this meeting, and the Lord has been good to you. If you're not saved, the Lord has been good to you because he's brought you here where you can hear words by whereby you can be saved. And so, as our brother just spoke about his own sickness, this thought of a verse in Isaiah. See, each one of us tonight are sick. We're all born sick. Spiritual sickness. Our brother mentioned his brain and the problems of his brain and the accident of the cattle. But each one of us are sick. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And that's the state of each one tonight, each one in this meeting. Without Christ, that's where we find we're sick, spiritually sick. But the good news of the gospel is, we read on in Isaiah 53, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that's not speaking about physical healing. That's speaking about spiritual healing. And there's healing tonight for your sin-sick soul through the work of the cross. Our brother sang about the cross. We sang it in our hymns, I must need to go home by the way of the cross. Our brother Colin has presented the gospel to you, even in his testimony. And that's why we meet here tonight, is to present Christ to you and to tell you that if you're sick tonight by sin, if you're still without Christ, there's hope for you. There's no hope in anything else. There's no hope in the world. There's no hope in sin. The wages of sin is death, and that sickness will continue until you come to that place of your death and you're condemned and go to a lost sinner's hell. But the wonderful good news of the gospel is that God is gracious. He's long-suffering. He's merciful, so merciful that he had sent his dear son to take our punishment, to take our pain, to pay the price for our sin, that we may be healed from our spiritual sickness and receive a new heart. The Bible describes about being born again. The Bible speaks about that stony heart, and when we're saved, we receive a heart of flesh, and with new desires, a new life, our lives change. We're new creatures in Christ. We're born again. We're made new. The old sickness is gone. Oh, it doesn't mean we've no problems, as a brother has mentioned. The Bible never promises that. The Lord says that in this world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And we look beyond this world to our home in glory, when all our sickness and pain and sorrow will be gone. But the most important thing tonight, friend, is that you come to Christ, that you have your sin-sick soul dealt with. Stop trusting in yourself, stop trusting in good works, or this church or any other church, but tonight, flee to Christ. And he's merciful, he's loving, he's gracious, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, not may be saved, but shall be saved. An ironclad promise from the God who cannot lie. So friend, we trust that our brother's testimony has been a blessing to you this evening, and our brother's ministry and song will even challenge your heart. If you're not saved tonight, if you want to speak to us, we're here to help you, point you to the Lord, who can deal with your sin-sick soul and make you ready for heaven and for home. We're going to turn to hymn 270 as we close our meeting. A lovely gospel hymn, even as we conclude this evening. Down at the cross where my Saviour died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. We'll stand together and we'll sing verses 1 and 3, please. Verses 1 and 3 of hymn 270, standing to sing. Supper afterwards, don't rush off, please. Stay behind and have fellowship one with another. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of redemption, even in the life of our dear brother Colin. Lord, we thank you for seeking him out and saving him. Lord, we thank you for preserving him, protecting him. We thank you, Father, you're with him each step of the way. And Lord, that is the promise that we have tonight if we're Christians. We have the wonderful assurance that Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Father, we just pray, even as we come to the conclusion of this meeting, if there's any in our midst tonight who are not saved, who are relying upon themselves, their own righteousness, their good works for heaven, Lord, that they'll be challenged tonight even through the word of testimony. That they'll be convinced of their own sin, and they'll be convicted, Lord, and they will come and trust in Christ who alone can save. We thank you that Christ turns none away, but rather he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, how many tonight are looking for rest? How many tonight are looking for peace in this world, and they cannot find it because they're looking in the wrong place? Oh, Father, tonight we pray they look to Calvary. They look to the man on the middle tree, the one who'll turn none away. Oh, Father, bless us this evening We thank you for this meeting. We thank you for all who have gathered with us. We give thanks for the good things that have been provided for us. Bless the hands that prepared it. Lord, help us to eat and drink, Lord, to thy glory. And then at the end of the evening, we pray you'll take us home in safety and keep your hand upon us for good. We ask and pray all this in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Brother Colin and myself will go to the door if you need.